Yeah, what up, world? It's your boy Pretty Tony live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Can I play it play? Every Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Check out the website, www.playersuniversitysygu.com. Pick your copy up of the new book, Who Is She and What Is She to You, by yours truly. Also get a copy of Playerology or Player Step Your Game Up from my trilogy, huh? Holla at your boy. One love. Pretty Tony. And I'm out.
I wake up and feel empty. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Your boy Pretty Tone coming to you live. 2:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Can't play a player's in the building. Welcome to the show. I want to thank everybody that's joined me. I want to make sure every week I like to acknowledge everybody. Y'all definitely humble me all the time. When I see the numbers of y'all that may not listen live, but the thousands that download the show over the course of a week, it's almost scary. That's why I try to use this podium as a measure of expressing not only my truth as I see it, but the truth as to when we talk about subject matter pertaining to life, pertaining to love, pertaining to religion, politics, whatever it is we choose to discuss on Can a Player Play, I want to ensure that it's a measure of truthfulness involved in it. Real talk, man. And like I said, I am truly, truly humbled by the numbers out there, and I'm glad. Anyway, getting into the show, this week I'm in a real somber mood because this week I've been really looking into this whole Trayvon Martin situation and just other things, you know, Obamacare, a whole host of other situations that I see going on. And a lot of times, my generation, we let too much slide. My generation, we let too much fall to the wayside and we don't participate, yet the consequences of all these things directly affect us all. And at first, today I was going to go down the black and white path. I was going to go down the institutional racism, which is still real, but it may still play a role in all that goes on around us. But more than anything else, it is classism that we're suffering from. We are not engaged in a nation-building effort. We are engaged in a nation separation endeavor. And I hope y'all listen to the words that I just said. We as a nation are not engaged in the business of building a nation for a future for my children and yours and your grandchildren. We are engaged in policies of nation separation. And many times, every great empire falls and we are exhibiting all the behaviors and patterns of a great nation that's on the cusp of its own destruction. We cannot ignore the fact that as goes this entire Titanic ship, we are all on board it. Black, white, Asian, Latino, Mexican, whatever your race, color, or creed, we're all on this ride together. And at some point, we have let idiotic ideology take over our trend of thought. At some point, we have begun to deal with me, myself, and I instead of us. And I am going to talk about Trayvon in a minute, but there are way more things going on than Trayvon right now. A lot of the things we've been led to believe, a lot of the policies that we're engaged upon, we have seemed to have forgotten that politicians are sent to office to do the will and the bidding of the people. But instead, the will and the bidding of the people has been set aside for the will and the bidding of special interest group and lobbyists, and who is greasing the palms of the politician more. So the issues that we are facing go far beyond race. A great many of us, we're all integrated. We're all here together, but instead of accepting this fact, we're engaged in me, 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 I. We have lost a certain humanity that was in us all. We have lost a certain kindred spirit that was in us all. And we're all engaged in nation separation. And if we continue to engage in nation separation, we are going to go down like the Titanic, because open your eyes, we have already struck the goddamn iceberg. The only thing is that we are now, as this ship has struck the iceberg, we have enough life-saving things in place for us all to make it through, but we're not going to do it if we engage in chaos, if we engage in negativity, if we engage in ideologies that want one set of people to feel better than another set of people. Ladies and gentlemen, the business of Trayvon Martin is far greater than Trayvon Martin. It has exposed long-standing issues of racial profiling, which those that live in a certain world or a certain segment want to act as though does not exist, but racial profiling is real. DWB, Driving While Black, is real. Being seen in the wrong neighborhood and dressed in an urban manner can now cost you your life? Is this where we have truly arrived at as a nation? We like to paint the picture of the land of liberty and the wonderful Statue of Liberty and freedoms and civil liberties that are afforded to us all, but are we truly free? Are we truly engaged in civil liberties? At this moment in our history, we are engaged in nation separation. Rather than to be judged by the content of not only your character, but by the content of your mind, we are being judged by the content of the clothes that we wear. We are being stereotyped because we're from a certain place. How far are these policies and ways of thinking going to get us? You can move into your gated community all you want. You're living with a false sense of security. One of the favorite personal jokes of mine that I like to see are these communities where we put these little bitty gates, and I'm like, even my big old self can jump over that gate. But yet you feel secure behind those gates. The gates are not protecting you from the realities of what is occurring in this country. We have got to start looking into some of these ideologies that used to be on the fringe of our society that we have now let become ingrained in our very fabric of our existence. Ideologies that do not promote a positive future for this nation. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh this week, as millions of people do, because I wanted to judge him for myself. Rush Limbaugh said that they just did some research and that anybody in this country that does not have health insurance is because they don't want it. It is because they're young, healthy, and wealthy, and they don't want insurance, and that the numbers of uninsured have been exaggerated by the liberal media to send us into a state of panic, and the only people who are not insured are people who don't want insurance. And I was listening, and I was like, what planet is this man living on? What planet is this man living on to believe that there's people walking around here in great numbers that don't want health insurance, who has lost their job and the ability to provide insurance for their job, for their children and their spouse? Who conducted this poll? And millions of you out here are buying into this garbage, this utter garbage. We've made the world, the word national health care, a scary topic that have people shaking in their boots to their core about health insurance for all. This is what has you shaking in your boots? Health care for everybody? We're having town hall meetings where they're like, well, they're protesting health care, and somebody in the crowd actually screamed out, let them die. This is the boat that we're sailing on as a nation? That somebody in a national televised town hall meeting is going to scream out, let them die, when it says, if somebody's sick and don't have health insurance, really? Really? This is what it's become? Let them die. And the pathetic part about that statement is, unless it shows up at your own doorway where your mom or your dad is not covered, or your child who is sick is kicked off their health insurance policy because they've become sick, it doesn't become personal to you. It seems like us and them, doesn't it? Whoever them and whoever us may be. Mr. Limbo also had the nerve to say that these politicians and Supreme Court justices are disconnected from our reality. Who, Mr. Limbo? When you leave your cushy leather chair with your golden mic and step into your Maybach or Phantom or whatever it is that takes you home, while Miss Jenkins gets on the bus going home after working two shifts and still can't afford health care for her children. Let them die. A young lady in Missouri, since Mr. Limbaugh said the only people who don't have health insurance are those who don't want it, a young lady by the name of Anna Brown in Missouri fell on some hard times in her life for whatever reason. Maybe it was drugs, whatever it is. She went to the hospital three times complaining of pains in her legs. Three times they looked at her, skimmed over her in the emergency room, which a lot of us have forgotten what the word emergency room means. Because according to Mr. Limbaugh's theory, if you're sick, go to the emergency room, which ends up costing us millions and billions more than providing health insurance, by the way. She complained of pains in her leg, refused to leave the hospital on her third visit because she's like, I'm still hurting. The police was called. As she still complained about the pain that she was feeling, they shackled her and dragged her out of the hospital and dragged her to the police station. I'm kicking this number around. Within 30 minutes of being shackled at the police station, she died. Turns out she had blood clots in her legs that moved up and killed her. So my question becomes, once again, our inhumane treating of us, of our, matter of fact, ourselves, because that's who we are. We're one nation. If a woman is in the hospital complaining of pains in her legs and acting erratic, would it have killed those police officers to handcuff her and put her in a wheelchair? They dragged her, and the only thing that comes out of the officer's mouth is, oh, we thought she was sick on drugs. Seriously, those are the words you want to justify to her mother and her children, as this young lady has now passed away. That's all you can say? You thought she was sick on drugs? The greater humanity in you, even if she's acting erratic, you couldn't handcuff her and set her in a wheelchair and move her? And when you got to the facility, put her in another wheelchair and wheel her into whatever medical ward you had, you just dragged her into the police station like an animal and set her down, and she died on the floor, and all you can say is you thought she was sick on drugs? Is that where we're really heading as a nation? Is that the beaming, the beacon of light that's supposed to be upon the ocean of freedom and civil liberties that we like to pretend? we have a lot of soul searching to do as a nation. We have a lot of soul searching to do as a people. The divide between the rich middle class and the poor is growing more rapidly now than any other time in history. But we're still engaged in silly ideological conversations. We're still engaged in separatism instead of unity as a country, as a people. So this is bigger than Trayvon Martin. And I keep mentioning his name because even though I'm talking about other things, he was a catalyst for my train of thought for this show. I listened to Hannity and a couple other people as they're discussing the whole Trayvon Martin situation, and their response is the liberal media activism is why everybody's up in arms. No, a great many people are up in arms because of frustration, Mr. Hannity and all these other wonderful people, as you live in your wonderful whitewashed world in your mansions that you worked hard for, by the way, and I'm very proud of you. This is not liberal media activism. This young man's family deserves answers. This is a child that was taken from his mother and his father, and there was a certain amount of negligence applied in the handling of this situation. You're going to run tests on Trayvon, but you did not run tests on Mr. Zimmerman to see if he was high on anything, to see if he was on any medication that helped his behavior amp him up a little bit. This young man is gone, and no amount of protest or anything is going to bring this young man back to his mother and father, but nonetheless, they deserve some answers. But it is liberal media activism to ask questions. Many questions need to be asked. The entire Stand Your Ground law, I'm sure it has wonderful aspects to it because I'm not one of those who believes in repealing Stand Your Ground. But was this a law that was enacted for the benefit of the masses, or was this a special interest project of the National Rifle Association, NRA, who backed and financed that law, by the way? Politicians, you guys have had your hands way too long in the kitty on the backs of hardworking people. But when you speak of this, they're quick to say, oh, we're trying to play the rich against the rest. Are the rest of us against the rich? We have got a whole lot of questions we have got to start asking ourselves. Hold on here. I think I'm joined by somebody. 111, you're on live. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, where's Diddy?
Hey! I don't know where Diddy is. I think he may be out, you know, taking some well-deserved rest and relaxation, deep sea fishing or something of that nature.
Because I thought he was going to say, there goes the neighborhood. I had a good retort for him. I have to wait till next week now.
Oh, well, welcome to the show. Glad to have you, Joe.
Hey, Tony. I was listening to you. I didn't know if I had a... I guess I have to put on the, you know, press one in order to, you know, to signal that I'm here. So,
That's all right, brother. I was on my little pulpit for a minute. I'm always open to your opinions.
No, I'll wait till you finish because I have some of my own opinions as well.
Well, then go on and dig in, brother.
Okay.
There's no time like the present, brother.
All right. For example, with Limbaugh, what I think he was saying, and I didn't listen to him, but here's something which you like. Limbaugh every day has a transcript of his show. If you go to rushlimbaugh.com, you can go and see what he has said. It's always up there at the end of the day. So if ever you want to, you know, use that as a reference for any of your shows, you got a transcript of his show. What I think he was, what I think he was saying was not that everybody who isn't covered doesn't want insurance. I think what he was saying, from what you were saying, was that there was a certain, let's say out of 100 people, 100 million, let's say 10 million who aren't covered, and 10 million who's, and of those 10 million who aren't covered, something like 5 million might not want insurance. Because when I was younger, I didn't want insurance. So out of the 5 million, that leaves 5 million who want insurance, right? Now, what I think he's saying is that the media is saying that 10 million people aren't insured. But what they're not saying is that 5 million of them don't want to be. So that leaves really 5 million who do want to be insured and left out of the pool. So I think what he's saying is that the liberal media is exaggerating the number. I don't think he's saying that the 10 million is wrong. I think he's saying that maybe 5 million of them absolutely don't want it because they're young, and that leaves the other 5 million. Or it might be 2 million who don't want it and 8 million do. So I think he's saying that the liberal media is lying.
Both sides of the fence fudge the numbers.
Yeah,
so,
of course, yeah.
So I completely agree with that. Both sides of the fence, left, right, and center, well, the three sides of the fence, they fudge the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
absolutely.
Now, if Mr. Limbaugh had presented it in that manner, I would have wholeheartedly agreed with him, because sometimes he does say things because he is there to promote his opinion and his thoughts, and there's nothing wrong with that. Now, if he had presented it like that, yeah, that's how I would have took it. But he said he kept reiterating the point that they do not. So maybe in his transcripts, or it may be as he did it, he was choosing, like any other side of the fence, to work on the side of the fence that makes his point go across. And that's okay with me. That's
all
quite
right.
Okay with me. Because, everybody who listens to this show knows I am not an Obama puppet. I don't believe in any polytriction, because
mm-hmm.
that's what I call them all. They're all polytrictions.
Oh, yeah.
And so That's the whole point of what I was talking about today. You know,
mm-hmm.
liberal media activism and all this other wonderful catchphrases that are being thrown around for whatever reason has nothing to do, going back to the whole Trayvon situation,
mm-hmm.
this young man's family deserves answers.
Well, that's absolutely true, too, because new facts are coming out, and something which you brought up, which makes a good point. I didn't know that they tested Trayvon Martin for drugs. If they could test the victim for drugs, they can test Zimmerman for drugs.
Absolutely, sir. And that leads me into the next point of what I was going to try to say. I have no interest that Trayvon got suspended from school for an empty bag of marijuana. I have no interest in a tattoo on his arm. That has no bearing or consequence of what happened in that moment. And we're all, both sides of the fence, and all these other media hogs that I'm not going to bother to throw their names out there. Everybody knows who shows up and wants to protest when the cameras are on. We'll get back to that. All my area of concern is that his mother, his father, and his family deserve answers, good or bad.
And there's another thing, too, which you brought up, which just hit my mind again because I'd forgotten about it. When you were talking about Stand Your Ground, which is funded by the NRA, I also think it was predicated upon, are you familiar with the Joe Horn incident where they had the 911 tape of the guy that was watching a burglary take place across his lawn? His neighbor's house was getting robbed, and he had a shotgun?
He shot him. Yes. Yes.
From what I heard, that's supposed to be the foundation. I don't know if that's true or not, but if that is, I'm kind of glad for that kind of law, because this guy, he suffered because he shot gang members who parked their asses outside his door for weeks. So the stand your ground is a result of that. Now,
go ahead, Joe.
Now, whether or not it was perverted in this particular case with Trayvon is something which has to be investigated and found out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I happen to like the idea that if rightfully used, if a person says, you're threatening me, and the person is threatening them, I don't think you should kill a person, but I think, you know, if you do get into a fight and the fight becomes vicious enough and you kill the person with your bare hands, I think that the person who is the one who did the killing, and if he was the one who was attacked, I think that person deserves, doesn't deserve to be persecuted.
Absolutely. And that's why in the beginning of the show I made sure I said I am not a proponent of repealing the Stand Your Ground law, because it has its merits.
Right.
If you're threatening me, if you intend to do harm to me, if you are committing harm to me, I should have the right to use whatever measures necessary to secure my safety, because at the end of the day, self-preservation is the first rule of survival.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about, you know, and some of y'all, when you check out the archives or whatever, they're going to like, man, pretty Tony. I'm like, it's okay. We have got to talk about the things that I'm talking. We can't talk about relationships all the time and the injustices of the feminists and the male chauvinists and all this good stuff. We have to discuss other issues at time, and that's what today's show is all about. And I went out of my way to ensure that I'm not going to make this a race matter. This is a matter of class warfare. This is a matter of understanding that those sitting up on Capitol Hill and all these wonderful hills that have all these wonderful titles do not have the will of the people at heart.
And there's another thing, too. When you're talking about the nation of separation, which I'm probably going to borrow, just like I'm going to borrow that husbands are burden bearers, because I remember that, the nation of separation is being promoted by government. Now listen to this. They do not want your kids to form friendships with best friends. They are actually in schools separating children from those other children with whom they are bonding. They want children to only be in group endeavors, not single one-on-one friendship endeavors. Can you believe that?
Assimilation is the name of the game, my dear friend. And I do believe that, because if you examine the explosion of social media, you have to examine the core of what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
The explosion of social media, where everybody's living out their daily lives, not as an individual, but as a part of a mass, a group, sharing your very innermost thoughts in a group environment. Of course, assimilation is the name of the game, my dear friend.
Mm. Assimilation like the Borg. I don't like that. I don't like that. Oh, God.
So, by the way, I'm glad to have you, Joe. I'm glad to have you.
I'm here, man. You know what? I need a commission. You got about a few thousand downloads of your show. I never achieved that when I was co-hosting other shows. I need a commission. I want at least 2% of whatever it is that's coming in.
Absolutely. You know what? When we actually start profiting, I will cut that check, my brother.
All right, 2%.
I will most assuredly cut that check. And I've said it, so I can't deny it now, because it's recorded, it's in the archives. I've said it, sir.
Yeah, now, but you know what's going to happen now? I guarantee you in the next 10 seconds, 702 is going to show up and say, hey, I want a check too. Right?
Maybe. Maybe. And the ladies are not chiming in today. I kind of figured that today's show I figured that today's show would more be in the archives and get downloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really wanted to get on my pulpit today and talk about these matters, because a lot of times on the show I don't get to show the grand scope of the madness that is my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a wide array of opinions and thoughts and observations as we're moving forward, you know. And that's why today's show is a little bit about, you know, I wanted to touch on these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to go back to Obamacare for a moment, like, as they have labeled it.
Okay.
And made it such a scary thing.
Oh, that's good, because I'm going to disagree with you. Okay.
Okay. Now, anything that's 2,700 pages long would scare the crap out of me. Because that tells me you got shit in there you don't want me to read.
Mm-hmm.
That's how my paranoia runs.
No, I agree with you on that. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, you know, anything that's 2,700 pages long is definitely an abomination. Because that tells me, when you plop that down in front of me, that tells me that there are little wrinkles and details and isms and schisms that you don't want me aware of, because 99.9% of us are not going to read a friggin' 2,700-page document.
Mm.
It's sort of like that book, Atlas Shrugged, by Ayn Rand. I still ain't finished that damn book yet.
Oh, I got that book. Jesus, hey, Jesus. I read about 10 pages, I said. I like her philosophy, but I'm not reading this. I am not reading this.
So it's become a glass holder now.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. And so very few of us, as I said, 99.9% of us are not going to read a document that is that big. Now, the core idea, I do believe that in this nation we should all have some measure of health care coverage. But I feel as though that we make things that could be so simple, so complex. I'm a simpleton. I'm a simpleton, and if you break things down to me simply, I can relate. And here's something that popped in my simple mind. If you organize a nationwide health care and you say, okay, we go by income. If your income falls below a certain thing, you pay this amount, you're above, you pay that amount. If you happen to be in a bind in life and you have nothing, you pay nothing. However we work out logistics, however we work out the details, we should work out universal health coverage for all of us, because at some point in this life, we're all going to need health care coverage. And if we're all running to the emergency room, that's a simple thing that normally you could go in the doctor and see them for $75, $100 now becomes a $2,000 venture or $3,000. I've seen healthcare bills. Most of you, you know, a lot of you people, like, you know, and I can't shake this because I had to listen to it 4 times in that town hall, and the person said, "Let him die."
Mm-hmm.
Are you people serious?
Now, here's where you and I disagree.
All right.
Should people be covered? Now, people are thinking. I remember now, about 2 years ago, Obama was promoting this, and everybody got the idea that it was going to be based on the Canadian system, where people were fairly happy, yet they were paying 50. I think they were paying something like 50% of their taxes were going towards their health care, but they were fairly happy with it. This had nothing to do with the Canadian health care, because people in Canada, you just go anywhere and it's free. Here, though, Obamacare was you have to be covered, you have to pay the premiums. When the premiums still go up, you have to pay. And if you don't want the insurance, you've got to pay anyway. So, in other words, every single person that lives in America has now got to pony up something like $1,000, $2,000 a year. If he has it, he's got to pay the premiums. If he doesn't have it, he's got to pay a tax. That's the crux of what was going on with the Supreme Court on day two. They were talking about the individual mandate.
Yes, the individual mandate.
You know, does Congress have the right to impose its will on you by saying you have to buy it because we say so? If this bill passes, will it pass? But if Congress upholds it, we're in deeper shit than people realize. Because, number one, premiums are going to go up. That's number two. Secondly, people don't have a right to health care, which other people might say, are you fucking crazy, Joe? I'm not crazy. Health care is a private industry. Health care is run by insurance. For the insurance to be worthwhile for the people that it covers, it has to have a profit. It can't have a profit if an insurance company is covering everybody with pre-existing conditions. Because if it does, it'll go broke. If it goes broke, it can't cover anybody. And it's not a right. It is, it's a commodity, just like a car. Some people think that college tuition is a right, has to be paid for by the government. That's what Occupy was all about. No, you don't have a right to it. You have a right to your own merit, your own earnings, your own successes. You don't have a right to other people's property and other people's successes. You don't have a right to health care. As a matter of fact, the reason why health care is as bad as it is because of the government, in cahoots, of course, with greedy assholes at the insurance companies. That's fascism. But years ago, I had an unlimited policy. In other words, for $15 a month, anything that happened to me, no matter what the costs were, they were going to be paid for by Aetna. $15 a month. I had to pay, it was an 80-20. They would pay 80% of it. I had to pay 20%, and I could pick the deductibles. Then all of a sudden, it went up to $57 a month. I had to drop it. But at that time, that insurance was available. Unlimited. That meant, again, $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, doesn't matter. They paid 80%, I paid the 20%. Healthcare at that time was affordable. But the corrupt jackasses, which is the thrust of your show today, those assholes on Capitol Hill, they made it expensive in cahoots with the insurance companies. You know. And now, here's something else which is controversial. Whoa, you're saying let them die, let them die? Now, I'm going to give an example. I'm a libertarian. I believe that people are responsible for their own actions, their own behaviors, and they have their own choices. Relative to health care, here's what actually happened about 8 or 9 months ago in a certain town. There was a case of a house burning. The house was burning. They called the fire department. The fire department didn't come out. Then later on it came out. The reason why it didn't come out at first is because this particular person did not pay a $75 annual, not a tax, but an annual premium for the town's fire department to put out the fire. Since he didn't pay it, he had no right to expect the fire department to put out his house, to put out the fire in his house. The reason why the fire department did come out was because the other house was catching on fire. But they let the first house burn down. Now, that was a controversy for about a month or so. I was the one saying, it happened because of your negligence. People were saying, but Joe, that is so unkind. That is so cruel. The fire department could have put it out. And I said, yes, they could have. But if they had, nobody would have paid their premiums. And then what would have happened? You made the choice. Okay, and there's another thing, and I got this on the video. The guy whose house burned down, he said, I never thought that they would allow my house to burn down. They thought, you know, at first he said, I forgot to pay the premium. Then he said, I didn't do it. I didn't pay because I thought they would not let my house burn. So he thought, I don't have to pay because these people, they're going to put out my house even if I do get a fire. you have to pay the consequences of your actions. Just like when people go to the hospital, if they have no health insurance, if they could afford it and they chose not to buy it, they can't say to the doctor and to the hospital, you know what, now I'll pay. Because you might not have the money, all right? You didn't pay in advance to help these people defray their costs of buying the equipment necessary to save lives. You can't say it now. So that's why I disagree with with the people who say Obamacare is absolutely necessary. We had good health insurance. It was the politicians that effed it up.
So in a way, I agree with you because there is some truth to that. Many truths you just spoke. And like I said, I'm not a proponent of Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a proponent of we all having health insurance. And that's why I said the key element that I said earlier in the show is we should all contribute in some way, measure, or form. And if you fall into a kind of, you run into some
scale.
Little crunch.
Right.
Yeah, you know, if you fall into some crunch in your life where things are just not right, we say, okay, we're going to take care of you in this period while you're unemployed or whatever may be. But it's not going to be a lifelong commitment because you are right. That would bankrupt the system.
Right.
I do believe in some kind of pay scale.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm not a proponent of Obamacare. I'm not. My whole goal is I think if you're sick, we live in the United States of America. You should get some kind of care. And going back to your story about the fire department situation. Ah, wow. Joe, you there?
Uh huh. Just my phone backing up a little bit. I hope that fixed it.
Okay. In the scenario you just presented about the dude not paying the premium, like you said, it's his fault. But he assumed that they would come. Now, he should have paid his part to ensure that, the fire department was able to function. You know, and if you're going to shoot down universal health coverage, at least have a plan or some method of replacing or something better. All these damn corrupt, and I'm glad you said it yourself. Politicians and the corrupt ass insurance companies screwed it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's one of them situations where if they should have left it all alone. But anyway, wow. I've been holding it down most of the show. My man Joe from Montana has just chimed in. We're talking about, life in this society that we call America. The things that are going on and things that we are let going on and the things that are falling to the side. We're discussing all these things today. I'm not even going to play any music because I'm really not even in a music playing kind of mood. I got all these things that are bottled up inside of me, and I try to use this podium, this pulpit to... It's a therapy session for me.
Oh, that reminds me, Tony, something I've been wanting to talk to you about for a couple of weeks, but I'm glad you mentioned it now because it just rang a bell in my head. You got to extend your show to at least an hour and a half. This is the fastest hour of BTR that I've ever been on. I mean, I turn around, all of a sudden the show's over.
Damn, Joe. And the funny thing is, in your saying that, is I've had that request a couple times, and I keep thinking about it. I'm like, man, 90 minutes. But, we're going to give it a test run. We're going to give it a test run next week, because maybe I've fallen into a comfort zone with the hour, come in, bada bing, bada boom, and I'm out. But next week, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give the 90 minutes a test run because a couple people have suggested it to me, and I'm like, man, I just like doing the hour. So I'll take it under consideration, man.
Okay, because I think that with you and Diddy and me, I think an hour and a half, even that won't be enough. Please.
But, in a way, I remember when these people used to have 3-hour shows on BTR. 3-4-hour shows just on and on and on and on and on. And I'm like, wow, those are really some long-ass shows.
Oh, yeah. I was co-hosting when I first came here a few years ago. I was co-hosting a show, which shortly thereafter, a few times, we actually had 6-hour shows, and I'm not lying.
Six-hour shows.
There were about 3 of them. And this is something which you can check up because, you know, a lot of people make claims. The name of the show that I used to co-host was WPRJX, I think it was. And in November of 2008, we had, you know, the 60 days to the month, right? I mean, 30 days to the month. Guess how many shows we had in that 1 month?
10.
Over 60. I think it was like 70-some-odd shows. It was over twice a day. You can do it. Let me tell you, Tony, if you got, because you have a broad spectrum of interests. You like relationships. You like politics. You like to delve into the corruption within politics. You like to find out the truth about the male-female mind for an hour and a half, and Diddy's the same way. And me, as soon as I open up my mouth, some freaking chick's got to come on the line. Yo, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about!
You know what, Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, you are the controversy because, yeah, you get it going.
I know.
It's okay, though. That's all right. You see, we can agree to disagree
yeah.
in a civil matter, civil decorum.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing about me is I have a very open-minded nature where I'm not dead set on my own. And I think this is one of the greatest flaws that is being shopped around in our political landscape at the moment is this I'm right, you're wrong theory. My ideology is better than yours.
Oh, yeah, that's the thrust of your show today. Yeah.
Yes. But what that has done is, and by the way, I thank you for the compliment. You like Nation of Separation, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm using that. You better copyright that one. Just like the bearer burdens of fathers. I remember that from the first time I got on your show and you were promoting Playology. Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I like, and I'm glad you did say Playology because one of the things, you know, that I promote when people hear the term Playology, you know, it started off one way, but it's ever expanding and ever changing
mm-hmm.
and ever evolving because it covers such a wide scope, a wide area of things. Like you said, I delve into quite a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't got off into religion yet, but we will. Because I like to talk about religion, atheists, all that good stuff.
Because
that's what life is about.
Oh,
life
God.
Is about the exploration of thought.
Oh, yeah.
And the expression of thought.
Oh, if you start religion, now I'm really going to get hate mail for you. Oh, boy.
It's okay.
Oh.
And that's why I'm glad to have you, brother.
Oh,
because you
God.
Are entitled to your opinion. Because at the end of the day, one of the favorite things I like to tell people, and, you know, a lot of times people don't understand, I think you've kind of caught on to me, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you've kind of caught on to me that the mind of the madness is far and wide.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That everything in life is theory. So theory is always open to investigation,
mm-hmm.
interpretation. Anything we do in theory, nothing is written in stone.
Mm-hmm.
Every theory should be given an opportunity to be heard, no matter how zany or outlandish that you think it is, because somebody's thinking it.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be open to examining theory because everything we discuss, think about, or create in this life is based upon some measure of theory.
Mm-hmm.
So it's open to, you know, go ahead.
Right. Well, it has to be, especially even in the scientific community.
Absolutely.
It gets hashed back and forth. Very rarely does somebody's scientific findings ever get approved by the mass of scientists right away. They have to be reviewed in peer-reviewed journals, and it goes back and forth for weeks. And, you know, so, yeah, every theory does have to be investigated in order to make sure that particular theory does hold water. And no theory, well, very few theories, if properly compiled, are zany, no matter what they sound like at the beginning. If they're theories, even if they sound zany, they're going to hold up under scrutiny. Yeah.
And also, in this decade or in this time, a theory may hold water, hold true, but 100 years from now, somebody will come along, 50 years from now, and punch holes into that theory because the mindset has expanded. It's just like when we were taught about the planets. Oh, there's 7 planets, blah, blah, blah. We have now grown to verify and realize that, no, there are not 7 planets in our little constellation here. There are hundreds, if not thousands, maybe even millions, that we're not able to see because technology has expanded the realm and the trend of thought. And we're not able to say, oh, man, even one of the planets that was a planet that we all learned about, I can't never remember which one was. Turns out it's not even a blasted planet.
Yeah, you're talking about Pluto, right?
I think it is Pluto.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, and one of one of the greatest flaws I find in the human condition is this. We latch on to things and we hold them to be concrete truths, truths that are undeniable and indestructible, and no such thing exists, for we do not understand truly the entirety of the moment that we're in. We're only examining the milliseconds and microseconds now, and we have got to see the things for the entirety of all that there is before us. So nothing is written in stone.
And there's another thing, which is interesting, if for people who want to verify or look up what you're saying now. I've looked that up. You can actually Google in predictions of scientists which were wrong. Like, for example, they were generally considered amongst the scientists that we could not have a spaceship because to have a spaceship, you'd have to use Newton's theory of every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And in space, it couldn't happen because the burners, the rockets, the flames that came out would have no atmosphere in space to push up against. Therefore, the ship couldn't move. But somebody came along and said, no, it sounds good, but this can't work. So they convinced us, the politicians, all right, let's try missiles, and they actually shot something in space, and lo and behold, no atmosphere in space, but the propulsion of the rockets do actually work. They push the spacecraft forward. So, yeah, what is normally perceived to be, yes, the truth, doesn't necessarily mean that. Because,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's even string theory. A lot of people, see, I'm showing my inner nerd now. I think I just lost some coolness point. But my credibility cannot be taken from me. My street cred is solid. Even string theory, which was laughed upon years ago, now has certain truths to it. But look, I'm down to the last minute of the show. My man Joe done held me down. I'm taking into consideration the 90 minutes. I don't know yet. K. Diddy should be back next week. I hope he's relaxed, refreshed from wherever he is. We have missed you, brother. Joe, please do come back. I always like to have you, my brother.
Thanks.
Like you said, and support the movement, y'all. Y'all know the book every week. Support the. All you got to do is look up Playology. You'll find out about me. And, follow me on Twitter, at SCISON. That is SELASSIESON. Keep up with the mind of the madness. And the boy Pretty Pony ain't got nothing but love for you, man. And I'm going to leave you with a song that Joe ain't going to agree with. it's all you got to have faith.
Cloud 9. Kendrick Lamar. Take a sip of Hennessy and then get pissy drunk. I ain't a drinker, I'm a thinker, call it what you want. But if you turn your back, know that you just missed your chance to witness the realest shit that's ever been told to man. I found myself losing focus at a Sunday service. Embarrassed, so I start questioning God, what is my purpose? He said to live the way he did, that's all he wants for me. Spread the word and witness, he rose on the first Sunday. I said, all right, enthused that my Lord gave a listen. I opened my Bible and searched to be a better Christian. And this from a person that never believed in religion. But shit, my life is so fucked up, man, I can't help but give in. I'm giving testimonies to strangers I never met. Hopped on the pulpit and told them how I was truly blessed. Felt like I'm free from all my sins when the service was over. Walked out the church and got a call that my homie was murdered. And lost my faith again.
Ooh. What am I gonna do?
Gotta have faith. Right too much understanding. Where is the old thing?
The children of folks, that's Bo Hennis and Bassett, cause Papa they don't know. Her day consists of working back and forth with babysitters. Can't find no one to watch her kids, so she pay her sister. Her baby daddy ain't about shit, that nigga ain't about shit. Spit the jar of milk just to cop a new outfit. She pray to God every night, hoping that he'll mature. And maybe one day his kid's something that he'll live for. Baby wanna go back to school, but she needs some help. Because it's hard trying to pay the bills when you're by yourself. She thought about credit card scams till she heard a voice that said the devil hits the lie, make a better choice. And so it's back to McDonald's and every month dealing with some crazy ass people at the county building. Look to the heavens and ask them to make a better way. They got a letter in the mail, lost her Section 8, and lost her faith again.
Ooh. What am I gonna do?
Gotta have faith. Right too much understanding. Where is the old thing?
In the 9 mil of the race killer, hacks and wise, my eyes fill up. Each day it gets more realer. Orangutans bang like gorillas. The jungle when the niggas in suit. The rats lurking, vultures circling the serpents. Cats lying through their teeth, my nigga didn't deserve it. I flirted with the ideal of caressing the steel to make karma come faster than she normally will. It's ill to see my fate try and leave me. It's so hard to get it, to get rid of it, it's easy. I'm trying to reach cloud nine, that's what my niggas vow. But it never rained in California, let some pistols out. And still there, my feet planted on the ground. Shadow boxing my conscience till my faith start responding. And if I get no answer, just know I tried. I should have never looked into a son's eyes. Great time, boy.
Ooh. What am I gonna do?
Gotta have faith. Right too much understanding. Where is the old?
Whenever times is hard, your mind slipping, wondering is there really a God? Knowing you shouldn't think that way and try to freeze your brain. But whenever it's pain, that feeling forever remains. We can't believe what we can't see. And reality seems stronger than prayer. Cause you tried to change your life and now you live in a wheelchair. And your son was born with cancer and he lived in urgent care at the tender age of 12. And you feel that no one cares, searching for answers. That's human nature, you ain't in the wrong. Just know when you feeling that way, his spirit